Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
And welcome to Fantasy Sports Friday here on HealthyLife.net Radio. I'm your host, Jay Cruz. Today, I've got a guest, Sharky Zartman. She appears on Fridays, usually the show right before me, first Friday each and every month. And Sharky, you've been here since like 2011, something like that. Let me look on the...
Yes.
I think I have a Friday... Since July of 2011, I think, was your first day with us.
That's right. That's right. And I've been coming back ever since.
That's great. I always appreciate... you obviously love having a good time doing the show.
I really do. I try to get guests that are not only knowledgeable, but are fun to talk to.
Mm-hmm.
It's because I want to have a conversation with these people. I don't want it to be a monologue.
Right. So, or a big plug.
Right, right. And so, yeah, I've been careful about who I've had on the show, and I think I've had some really good guests, and I just really enjoy doing it.
Yeah. Well, I'm glad, because I enjoy, you know, working with people that enjoy, you know, doing the show. Before I got to HealthyLife.net, you know, I had my radio years, but also college years, and we always had a new crop of people, and I always remember being new, and now some student, you know, broadcasters at the station kind of weren't exactly rooting for me to do well. Let's just leave it at that. So, you know, some people were and very helpful, but some weren't, and I was like, okay.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm going to remember that, and when I get to your position and I get to train people, I'm not going to be like that.
Right.
And it really... So I enjoy, you know, that you enjoy the show, and you've had some great, great people. In fact, one of my favorite guests is going to be your next guest in November.
That's right. That's right. Vince Papale.
Yeah.
Coming back. Mr. Invincible.
And
so.
Yeah, for those that, you know, do or don't know about him, that movie Invincible, starring Mark Wahlberg, you know, kind of a fun movie. I remember I was a Sports Illustrated subscriber back as a kid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, since sports fans, since like you remember walking and talking, but Sports Illustrated, they did a feature on him because he was the super long shot to make the team. And that was back when, you know, football rosters were kind of set. They didn't have free agency like they do now. And you knew who like the Eagles were and the Cowboys were each and every year, whatever team it was. And he was one of those three or four spots open on the team. And he made it because of his crazy special team gusto, you know, running down and doing things people don't like to do, you know,
right,
tackling and blocking and giving up your body.
Right.
And he made it to the NFL. It's just a great story.
It is a great story. And he is a great person to talk to because he's so inspiring.
Mm-hmm.
And for somebody to make an achievement like that, you know, the fact that Disney wanted to do a movie about it,
mm-hmm,
is incredible.
Yeah.
And so I know now he's doing things, going all around the world. His son is playing sports now.
Yeah.
So,
well, what is his son doing?
I think he's playing football.
Okay.
Yeah.
In Europe, possibly? Or?
I don't know if he was in Europe with his son,
okay,
for a sporting event, but he still travels all around the world.
Well, there's like the USFL now, or,
yeah,
you know, some spring,
right,
football, and there's a lot of guys who do that, stay in shape,
right,
get their game on, and NFL scouts and coaches are,
yeah,
always looking for that one person that can help him out, like Vince Papale helped the Eagles out,
right,
back in the 70s.
Right. So I'm going to ask him how it feels to watch his son playing sports when he can't,
yeah,
get out there and do it for him.
So now, for those that do or don't know you, I think people do know you. You've been on the network again since 2011. And you have a big connection to sports in your life, going back to growing up, playing volleyball, and eventually having a nice big run in volleyball. You just didn't play on the beach like Southern California kids. You
right,
turned it into something big, UCLA,
right,
national team.
Right, right. Well, I was inspired. Well, when I was growing up, everybody always told me, you know, sports aren't for girls.
Right.
Because at the time, you know, most of the people that played sports were men. And I remember thinking, gosh, I wish I was a boy. Not because I wanted to be a boy, but because I wanted to play sports. I wanted the things that they had. And so, yeah. And I loved basketball. I played basketball in high school. But my favorite sport was volleyball.
Yeah.
And I remember seeing the national team play before they went to the 68 Olympics. I got invited to an exhibition. It was in Long Beach. And I remember seeing that team play, and I just thought, and there was this girl that was smaller than me. Her name was Patty Bright. And I just went, oh, my gosh, she just flew around the court like a ballerina. And I just went, gosh, you know, because everybody says I'm too short to play volleyball, but if she can do it, maybe I can do it.
Yeah.
And so she was my inspiration, and I just, the driving force, I ended up finding a coach that was a pretty tough coach.
Yeah.
And, yeah, he taught me the fundamentals. He didn't put up with any of my BS about why I couldn't do something. He just made me do it till I did it.
Yeah.
And eventually I was able to make UCLA. They recruited me. I was able to make the World University Games team and eventually the national team.
That's quite a bit in a quick nutshell. We can definitely go, you know, back deeper into it. Obviously, growing up playing on the beaches, you're a South Bay native, born and raised in Southern California.
Right.
I was born here, but my family moved to Northern California. And had we lived here, I think the boys' volleyball program was offered in high school. We had that as an intramural.
Right.
Girls played, guys didn't.
Right.
And I love volleyball. I didn't make the basketball team, but I was good at volleyball, you know, as well, and my intramural team was good. And I'm like, you know, if we had a team, maybe this could be a ticket to college. Because I was like, you know, let's dream big.
Right.
You know, I was thinking basketball, but that didn't happen.
Right.
You know, I was taller as a kid, and I stopped growing early in high school. So those, you know, things, you know, kind of went away, which was kind of fine because I did what most athletes do and brought sports career was over. I go, maybe I can talk about it and be into broadcasting because I always kind of had that in the back of my mind anyway and watched a lot of games. So I listened to all the announcers and, you know, all the stuff and just absorbed it. But, you know, early on, I was a huge fan of UCLA and Bill Walton. I couldn't get enough. And John Wooden. I just thought they were they walked on water before I knew what walking on water even meant.
Right, right.
Huge fan of UCLA basketball, still am.
Right. Well, John Wooden was amazing. He was coaching the team when I was there at UCLA as an athlete. And I remember Bill Walton was in a couple of my classes because
we
both majored in kinesiology.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, just, and, you know, we would talk about sports and stuff, and we'd always go to the games. And, you know, Wooden was just, you know, he was so good with his athletes. I mean, I never saw him yell and scream at anybody. He was just so, you know, calm, you know, even when the team was, you know, in trouble, which was hardly ever.
Yeah.
But still, he, you know, he just maintained his calm and composure and respect. And I didn't realize it, but he won 10 national titles from the 60s to the 70s, 7 in a row.
That's amazing.
That is amazing.
You know,
that is amazing.
Nowadays, people win two. And to try to get the three is, like, nearly impossible. I don't remember they were the last team, I think, that, you know, put together that many. I think Connecticut, the current UConn, the current champions, have won two in a row. And, you know, they're talking three, and it's a big deal. And I'm like, hello,
right.
The Pyramid of Success guy.
He
invented the dynasty. And the Celtics were doing the same in pros at the time, which is kind of cool that Bill Walton kind of played for the Celtics, even though we're both Laker fans. That was tough to see at the time.
Right, I know. But
you know, looking back, he belonged there.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. And one of the greatest moments was when we did win the national title, their first one at UCLA, and we were introduced at halftime during one of the men's basketball games. I was just shaking. I was so happy. I'm just like, oh, my gosh, you know.
That was at Pauley Pavilion.
Yes, yes. So.
Who's that named after? And obviously, Apollo.
I never researched that. I'm sorry, Jay.
That's okay. I just wondered.
Maybe someone named Paul?
I'm guessing, yeah, Polly. Someone in a construction business named Polly.
Yeah, right. I don't know.
But it's one of those hallowed names, and I like that it's still, you know, it's not the fill-in-the-blank corporate name here, which I'm not opposed to if they pay for the stadium.
Right.
You know, but I'm hard-lined against anyone like, you know, taxpayers funding the bill for a gazillionaire to make more money and charge me to go to his games and the beverages and the merchandise and,
you know,
ticket prices. They're certainly inflation. They're certainly not what they were when I was a kid. But even then, I was like, $3 for the game? Oh, man, you know? You know, now it's like $3 is a tip for the...
Yeah, we can't believe how much people pay to go to some of these games.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just, you know, and these people don't look rich.
No.
You know, but they pay that money, you know, to go to Laker games, to go to Dodger games. I mean, it's just, it's incredible.
Yeah. Like, I just got one of those, you know, resale apps for, like, last-minute tickets where you're supposed to get, you know, people that have maybe bought tickets and can't go, or maybe they... like buy season tickets and they sell 5 tickets to pay for, you know, whatever, because they didn't really want to go to all of them. Or, you know, now the team's losing, you know, that's probably, you know, fair weather fans here in LA. I mean, the Rams won the Super Bowl and there's more fans of the other team still in the stadium, and they, their parade wasn't exactly overwhelming.
Right.
You know?
Right.
And the Chargers have even less of a fan base, even though I'm kind of pulling for them.
I am too. You know? I saw them play against Kansas City.
Yeah.
And the first half, I'll tell you, they dominated Kansas City.
Yeah.
I went, wow, this Chargers team with Harbaugh.
Yep.
He is a good coach.
Midas touch.
He is a good coach.
I mean, he started at San Diego, then he went to Stanford, and I remember they were like a 40-point underdog to USC, and they ended up beating USC by like 4 touchdowns or something. And that was kind of crazy, you know, and him and Pete Carroll exchanged words at the end because I guess he ran a fake extra point when they were up big, and Carroll's like, hey, what's your deal? You know, running up the score on them. And, and then those two are rivals in the NFL, the 49ers and the Seahawks, and Harbaugh put them back on the map. It was weird because I like the Niners, and then Harbaugh's doing really good, and the front office is like, we don't like you. And I'm like, hello, you guys just had all these bad coaches. You've got maybe one of the best, or he's getting results.
You don't need to like him. He's getting results.
Winning is that's what people like, especially your fan base.
Right.
Because that's a spoiled fan base. Couple Super Bowls back in the day, and they expected, you know, all the time. And they've been close, and, not quite there yet. But so, I'm pulling for the Chargers a little bit just because, like, you can't say you're a Fairweather fan if you're a Charger fan now, because there's nobody that openly really roots for them. There's more people that come from San Diego, I think.
Yeah, and I think they're a pretty young team, aren't they, Jay?
Yeah.
Yeah, they're one of the youngest teams, and so they have a lot of room for improvement, and they have a lot of talent that just, you know, needs to continue to grow.
Mm-hmm.
And I think Harbaugh is one of the people that can facilitate that.
Certainly.
Yeah.
You know, and they're off to an okay start. I think they're 500. They played Denver this week.
Yeah, they're 2-2. Yeah.
And they've had a week off, so heal up some injuries, especially Justin Herbert. He's had a lingering foot and ankle injury going on.
Right.
And, you know, their number one draft pick, he's been banged up too. The guy out of Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
He's good. He shut down Max Crosby of the Raiders, who's a pretty good pass rusher.
Right.
He nullified him in game one and then a little dinged up. So.
Yeah,
they're going to turn things around.
I look for them to turn things around. Yeah. Unfortunately, the Rams, I just can't believe they're behind 1-4. And, you know, you just kind of go, oh, my goodness, you know, because, you know, they have good coaching.
Mm-hmm.
They have a great quarterback.
Yeah.
Matthew Stafford, you know.
They are missing 2 really good wide receivers.
Right. So you hope they can turn it around.
Yeah.
And at least I think they get this week off. And so maybe.
Yeah.
Maybe they can get some of their injuries to heal and come back strong.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
and then, ironically, the one win they have is against San Francisco, a team that had a long history of beating them recently. And the Niners are a little dinged up, too. know, but either way, that was a, you know, the Niners are winning and they came back. Kind of like in that NFC Championship game when they got to the Super Bowl. You know,
right.
It looked like San Francisco was going to win and the
right.
you know, Rams came back. So, yeah, hopefully they can have a late push and get
right.
and get healthy, you know, for Rams fans. And
my favorite player is Mahomes. I got to tell you.
You know, he's tough to root against.
That guy is... You know, when he can't throw the ball to somebody, he just starts moving around and dancing
mm-hmm.
and going forward. And, you know, I just, Pat and I just start laughing because
yeah.
he's going, okay, well, I guess I'll do this. You
know,
yeah. just, he's fun to watch.
Yeah. He's got that natural athletic instinct. And then there's a series on Netflix called Quarterbacks.
Oh, okay.
And they followed him, Kirk Cousins, and Marcus Mariota around. It was like two seasons ago. And I think that the Chiefs did win the Super Bowl that year, and then it was released the following season. The Netflix also has a show on receivers,
okay.
kind of similar. Where it's a, you know, like a reality documentary, similar to Hard Knocks, where they follow the team, you know,
mm-hmm.
and you get access to their lives, which is kind of interesting. Get to, you know, see things. This one episode, Patrick Mahomes was working out with his coach, and he was doing things I never would think. I mean, yeah, weights and stretching
right,
and the ropes,
right,
you know, and,
right.
but he was doing these like. stretches where his leg was being held up. I mean, rigorous stuff. And I'm going, you know, that's a that's what happens when you get tackled in a pile.
Right.
You don't expect your leg to be bent behind your hip and big, you know, Bubba Smith landing on it or someone of that defensive, you know, someone big or multiple guys, maybe even your own teammates. It's just bodies.
And they're pushing you past the
yeah.
goal line.
And there's that. You know, it's like, you know, 5-10 guys. That's like a couple tons of human bodies,
right?
You know, and they're running, and
those
so
are big guys too.
They are. So the physics involved, but it was amazing just watching him, the stretching and the pliability, and he was talking about, and I'm sure he pays his trainer like a good big pile of money, like a good six figures to train him and work him out and really give him this advanced stuff. And you know, these trainers, these quarterbacks hire, you know, there's, and then Kirk Cousins, the guy he was in Minnesota at the time. Yeah, this couple, you know, they're like maybe in their 60s or a little bit, totally holistic, and they do massages. They like helped him with meal prep, and like, and they were like his team, and they did
wow.
like all this stuff for him. So, you know, you watch a game on Sunday, and then, you know, the next Sunday rolls around. Sometimes I'm like, I'm a little tired for football. You know, how do these guys do it, getting on and off planes, going to
yeah.
this, and then just the recovery. And all sports have that. Football, of course, is really high up there. But how did you make it through as far as any major injuries or things you just had to take care of maybe later from playing?
Playing volleyball?
Yeah, from repetitive nature of the sport.
Not really. I think I sprained my ankle so a couple times and had some hip pointers from diving into the floor.
Yeah.
And, but nothing really serious. And so I was really lucky. I think one of the things that helped me is that I used to always run along the beach.
Uh-huh.
I played on the beach, and I always ran the soft sand. I ran hills because I had to go down the hill to get to the beach and go back up the hill to go home. And so I think I was really in pretty good shape and pretty strong.
Uh-huh.
And but it eventually took its toll on my knees from
yeah.
all that jumping. I had to have a knee replacement about 4 years ago, and my doctor says, "You need another one."
Yeah,
I go, "Not now." So
yeah.
that's the only thing. But I don't regret any of my playing days. You know, I mean, so I can't play right now. If I did, I'd be probably under the knife in like 2 days.
Right.
So anyway, but no, I didn't have any major injuries when I was an athlete.
That's
so I
good.
Was lucky.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. As a friend of mine who's a good athlete, who's so injury prone. You know, first football game, broken wrist, out for the season. And his main sport was basketball, so that put a crimp on that.
Right, right.
And then it never quite was 100% because, you know, he pushed it to get ready for basketball season and just, you know, living life as a teenager, you know, and stuff.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of, and, you know, another friend, he broke his leg in like spring practice. And he was a baseball player. That was his main thing. But, you know, playing football just because he loved it in the off time.
Right.
And at the people's health has so much to do with the success of a team. You know, that and coaching like John Wooden, mm-hmm. you know, and just that internal drive.
Right.
So
right.
Now, as a player, did you respond more to a strategic coach who is relaxed and let you do your thing, or someone whose tendency to, like, I know guys are watching a football game and their team's losing, and they go, I hope so-and-so punches a hole through the chalkboard at halftime and fires these guys up. What did you prefer?
Well, my coach at UCLA was Andy Benachowski,
mm-hmm.
and Andy was always very calm, cool, calm, and collected. But when we were in the finals and I forget where we were, or we were in Florida, I think, and you know, we weren't playing very good. We were just not focused.
Yeah.
And he called a timeout. And this is the first time I have ever heard him yell. And he even said a couple bad words.
Uh-oh.
And we all looked at each other and we went, oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
We better step it up. And we did, because we'd never seen him act like that before.
Yeah, it's a little more effective.
Yeah. And so that was effective. But if he had done that all the time.
Yeah, he'd tune it out probably.
Yeah. And so most of the coaches that I've had have been pretty calm and mellow and just focusing on what we needed to do, you know, because I think that, except for when Andy did that.
Yeah.
That's the one. That's, otherwise it's distracting to a lot of the athletes.
Yeah. I think so, too. And we're going to take a break real quick, but we'll continue on, like, coaching methods. And you're also a multi-book author. You've written valuable and books on, you know, telling parents to, like, take that chill pill, whatever form that is to you. And if it's that chilling, don't drive. I mean,
right.
Come to the game, support, but let your children be children. Yeah, teach them to compete, but, like,
right.
We're not going to the pros tomorrow.
Right.
You know,
right.
This is Little League.
Right, right. This is their game, not yours.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So we'll talk a little bit about that when we return. It's Fantasy Sports Friday. My special guest and host here on HealthyLife.net Radio, Sharkey Zartman. I'm Jay Cruz. We'll be right back.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
And we're back. Fantasy Sports Friday here on HealthyLife.net Radio. If you missed some of it, you messed up. You should have tuned in at 11 a.m. Pacific time. That's when we start. But the great thing is you can go to the on-demand page and listen to it or download it and share it with a friend, especially if they happen to be somebody connected to UCLA, because we're talking about them. I guess Sharkey Zartman had an illustrious, very decorated volleyball career. In fact, you're also in the South Bay Volleyball Hermosa. What's that? Volleyball Hall of Fame?
Yeah, the South Bay Hall of Fame for beach volleyball.
That's another cool feather in your cap.
Yeah, yeah. That was fun. That was unexpected. But I played for a long time on the beach. I just used to just challenge people up and down. They'd say no, and then I go to the next court. And, you know, I just never quit on it.
Uh-huh.
And I remember going down to Santa Monica where all the elites were, and they wouldn't let me on the court, but I just kept going down, and finally somebody couldn't play, and I got out there.
Yeah.
And I could play well enough where they'd let me on the court. It was very cliquish back then.
Also, I was kind of wondering about that, because I just recently read that Santa Monica is kind of the leader in maybe getting beach volleyball for the Olympics coming up in 2028.
Yeah.
And I was like, what about the South Bay? Hermosa, Manhattan? We're pretty volleyball friendly here, too.
Exactly. But that was the kind of the birthplace of beach volleyball, with Gene Selznick and Ron Lang and all those guys. You know, they basically made the sport popular.
Okay.
And so that's why you know, they want to have it there, but I don't know where they're going to have it, because Pacific Coast Highway is right along the beach. I'm trying to get there, and I don't know how they could possibly do it logistically.
And on top of that, the mayor has thrown a wrinkle saying there will be no, like, driving your car to the event. Take public transportation.
I
don't know, drop me in with a drone by then or something. I'm wondering if Uber is going to be taking people, because even that's a car.
I know.
You know, and this is L.A. and California. We drive out here because everything is so spread out.
Right.
Anyway, Anyway, so it's going to be in Santa Monica during the...
I don't think so. I think they're looking at Long Beach.
Okay.
I think Long Beach would be a much better place to accommodate a lot of people.
Because it's an extremely popular Olympic sport.
I mean,
it's certainly one of the few I've always paid attention to and did recently. I wanted to also kind of bring up something with women's sports in general. When you obviously were going to UCLA and, you know, getting influenced by the Pyramid of Success guy, John Wooden, and all those championships, and, you know, Bill Walton raising his hand a couple rows over in a couple classes. But that was around the time of the Title IX land-breaking decision that opened the door for women in sports.
Right. Well, when I was recruited to UCLA, there were no scholarships, you know, and we weren't even in the NCAA then. We were in the NAIA, the National Institute of Women's Sports, or I forget the name of it, but it wasn't the NCAA. And so we did not have the kind of support that obviously the men's teams had. And, in fact, they called our team, UCLA, our volleyball team, they used to call us the Dolls.
Like a roller derby team or something.
Yes. But when we won the national title, that was good. But that was in 1973.
Okay.
So that was big. But that was before Title IX. Title IX came in 1973.
Okay.
We won the season 1972-73. And I remember shortly after Title IX, things really started to change.
Yeah.
I mean, we started getting more people at our games. I started getting some money to help pay for my tuition.
Nice.
Which I didn't even know where it came from.
That's the beauty of college sports.
Yeah. And things really started to roll for us. And then a year after I left and went to the national team, basically then they got into the NCAA and been there ever since.
Yeah.
And so, you know, with the equality with women's sports, you know, that was huge.
Yeah.
That was huge. And I remember in high school, all my friends that were popular were cheerleaders.
Right.
And I thought, no, I don't want to be a cheerleader. I want to be a person they're cheering for.
Yeah.
You know, I wanted to be an athlete.
Yeah.
And I remember some of the games at the end, we actually had some men cheering for us.
Right.
You know? And so now there's, and so, and that was huge. That was huge for women's sports. Billie Jean King, she was huge for women's sports. And I just remember just hearing about her going, wow, she beat that guy.
The Bobby Riggs Battle of the Sexes.
That is so cool, you know.
That was huge.
It's women like that, and women who didn't give up on playing sports just because it wasn't for girls.
Yeah.
You know, I was one of those. I just said, I don't care. I'm going to keep playing because I love it.
Yeah.
And now, look where women's sports are now.
They have really come a long way, and, you know, thankfully, we can follow them on various, you know, TV packages and stuff.
Right.
I have various friends one time. We're at some South Bay bar restaurant, and he goes, can you put on the Washington State Cougars soccer game? And I'm like, you got to bet on this thing?
Yeah.
You must really be a degenerate gambler. And he's like, no, my daughter plays on the team.
Yeah.
You know, I'm like,
yeah.
You know? And I was like, oh, cool. And
yeah.
You know, just to be able to know that. And, you know, like kind of fast forward, Caitlin Clark has really put eyes on the WNBA. And I know some old school players are a little jealous, but it has grown the sport and might benefit them all. I remember when Magic Johnson and Larry Bird came in the league, because I used to have to stay up late to watch playoff basketball like 11:30 on tape delay. Now we can watch it on our phones.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it's so much better.
Yeah, and, you know, now that WNBA is accessible, I've heard a lot of men's sports shows who, you know, would normally be talking about LeBron or the Cowboys or whatever the hot teams are, and those are and Tom Brady, those are always the three, and the Jets, those are always the four topics they repeat. Caitlin Clark got in there as like the fifth topic this year, and just you know, a lot of respect from, you know, a lot of people that watch are watching the game closer, and you know, why not? The WNBA has been around for a long time.
Right.
If you enjoy basketball, you'll enjoy this. It's competitive.
These women are good players.
Yeah, they are.
Let me tell you. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they do rough stuff out there.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not just, you know, playing and prancing around. I mean, they're good and they're
very
tough.
Much so. About the only thing you may miss is the alley-oop.
Right.
Of the men's game, but
right.
you can get it there.
Right.
You know, get more than you want.
Right. Well,
you know, so I like the shooting and the passing and the other, because they play a good, fundamental, solid game.
They do. And I think Caitlin, I think you're right about some of the people being jealous when she came in, because she was a star coming in to the NBA. I mean, she had broken so many of the records in college.
And Pete Maravich.
Yeah.
And Cheryl Miller.
Uh-huh.
I think she was actually the all-time scorer.
Right.
But Maravich's three-point record or something.
I mean, she's doing amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And so and she's always very, very respectful. I mean, she's not talking trash, you know, and you know, she's a respectful athlete.
Yes.
And I'm really glad she got Rookie of the Year.
Me too.
So I was a little surprised she didn't make the Olympic team.
Yeah, that was interesting. In a way, I think it was maybe good for her because the college season just ended,
right.
And both the men's and women's NBA, it's subsidized or helped part of the NBA, for those that don't know, that they have a piece in it and owns part of the ownership and stuff with that. A lot of ex-NBA guys are involved in coaching and ownerships and stuff, but kind of lost exactly my thought there.
That's okay.
Might have to take a break.
That's okay whenever you want to take one.
Yeah.
But I think I told you that the Sparks, you know, our team here in L.A., El Camino College, where I work, was their training center.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, yeah. And so we got to see them. I have the yoga room right above the gym. So we got to look out and see them practice.
Yeah.
And so, of course, they were closed practices. But, hey,
yeah.
I had the room above them, and I had a window, so I could watch anytime I wanted to.
That's really cool. And they got one of this class of rookies, along with Caitlin Clark, was a very talented class, and they really – you know, besides the one, I don't know her name, but the Sparks got a really talented player in the draft as well. And I remember my thought, the positive about Caitlin not being on the Olympic team is that she had a little bit of a break because college season happened, tournament, they went to the final, didn't win. I think South Carolina won.
Yeah.
I think. But they were in the final, didn't win, and then drafted number one. Well, when that happens, you go to the worst team, generally.
Right.
Except for the time the Lakers got lucky and got Magic and Worthy back in the 80s. Jerry Buss, I don't know how he pulled that off, but he did.
Right.
kind of good karma. And then, so she had a little bit of a time off, which probably helped her because she had to run right into the season. And then as a rookie, you know, they're kind of being physical and bumping her, trying to throw her off her game a little bit, which is to be expected. And she, you know, wore through it, but I think the break helped her. And then, you know, it was kind of cool. I think on social media she had met New York Yankees outfielder Aaron Judge. And it was just kind of cool because they were both kind of like, hey, good to meet you. And, you know, he's a pretty big – he's like 6'6". I mean, he's also a massive home run champion, slugger for the Yankees. And, you know, it was just kind of cool to see her enjoying like a couple weeks off during the Olympics.
They all need that.
And then she was stronger, finished strong. And I think next year she's going to do amazing things and will continue because now she'll have a proper rest because that – you know, back-to-back season, that's tough on anybody.
Right.
Especially when you go up a level like that.
Right.
Anyway, that was my thought. We're going to take that break, and we'll be back to continue with Sharky Zartman today on Fantasy Sports Friday on HealthyLife.net.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
Thanks for staying tuned. It's Fantasy Sports Friday on HealthyLife.net Radio. My guest today, Sharky Zartman. She has the show before this show, the first Friday, each and every month here, 10 a.m. Pacific Time. And Vince Papale will be the November guest,
former
NFL player, obviously NFL alumni, and the basis of the movie Invincible.
That's right.
Quite a cool story. I'm not going to give it away. He was a long shot, made the NFL,
doing
things other players don't want to do.
Right. He's also very fun to talk to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And looking forward to that.
Me too.
That's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And one other guest I wanted to bring up real quick before we get on to one of our favorite mutual subjects, the Los Angeles Lakers, was Coach Featherstone from El Camino.
Yes.
That guy was a joy to have in studio and know him before he passed.
Right, right. He was an icon at El Camino College. I mean, just his football players just loved him.
Yeah.
And he was so positive and so creative. And, you know, I mean, he won more titles for us at El Camino than anybody has, past or future. And he was also an amazing teacher. He taught health, taught fitness. He even taught aerobic fitness.
Oh.
Yeah. I mean, I put the class in the curriculum, and he goes, I want to teach that. I go, you can do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he was also a really good volleyball player, beach volleyball player. He was a ref. He was also a really good club coach. We put a club together for our daughters and their friends, and he did the same thing. And he was very successful, like we were. And one year, his daughter couldn't play for his team because of her birthday. She was a little too old, so we took her. And so, yeah, and he, same thing with his young girls. Just so fired up, so positive, just, you know, his energy was incredible. And it was so sad when we found out that he had developed dementia, you know, Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
And I remember he was just starting to decline and had a few little signs, and so he needed some help finishing up the semester. But he was still such a fighter. I mean, still very, very positive, just all the way to the end.
Yeah.
And it was amazing to have him as a colleague and as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I think about, and then they named the football field after him, Featherstone Field.
Very cool.
And, yeah, and so, you know, he's an icon. He's a champion. He could have gone down and coached in San Diego, you know, if he wanted to.
Yeah.
In a college. But he stayed at El Camino because that's where his family was.
Yeah.
And his kids were growing up, and he loved the school.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, so he was amazing.
Yeah. No, such a enriching person to have had at El Camino, and a person that chooses to stay and doesn't chase. You know, coaches are pretty well known for chasing the next big thing.
Right. That's right.
You know, Lane Kiffin, for instance, he's had some ups and downs, but every time a new opening comes up, his name's at the top of the list, and he ends up getting paid more every year because of it.
Right.
You know,
right.
Power to you.
That's right. But he stayed there the whole time.
Yeah. You don't have to go to some El Camino sports. I mean, they're right there, and you know, the thing was, I used to do sports at my college radio station. It was a junior college, and I went there because they had the best radio signal. They had their transmitters on the highest mountain in the Bay Area.
Oh, neat.
And they had a really good training program, even though I mentioned the people that didn't root for me. I still got trained, and it worked out. I found the people that helped, you know.
Right. Good.
And part of it, they were all very cliquish about the music, and I was kind of like, I want airtime, and I'll take sports or news just as much as a DJ show.
Right.
And the doors open to get into music radio and be a DJ before the sports doors open. I had an opportunity to do an internship at a rock and roll station that I grew up listening to, and that was kind of my ticket to that side of the room. But I had done play-by-play, you know, for junior college, Foothill College, the Owls.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I did. And I used to think, who's really listening other than family members to junior college sports? You know, people go to games, and, you know, people are connected.
Right.
And you went to high school, or, you know, your girlfriend or boyfriend is up there to support. And, you know, maybe just, you know, people like me that live close going, yeah, let's just go to a game because it's not NFL prices. And you can see, you know,
right.
You can go, I remember seeing them win, you know.
Right.
And then ironically, of all teams that did the best was our soccer team. And the soccer team comes and goes, we know you do the other games. Why not do in our team? We're actually national champions. And we're like, but it's soccer on the radio. It's soccer, you know, and it's on the radio. But that coach ended up coaching the men's national team and had success. And then naturally, like all of our men's soccer team, he didn't have success. Just that's soccer in America.
Right.
But
right.
Steve Sampson was his name. And it was just interesting. I was there when, you know, that happened. But
right.
So, yeah, El Camino, a great history of sports. And, of course, you've been a professor in health and there for a long, long time.
I also coached there for 10 years.
Okay.
And won 9 conference titles, 2 state titles, 1 regional title. And I loved coaching.
That was volleyball?
It was volleyball.
Nice.
Yes. I loved working with the athletes. They were so motivated. And you know, really enjoyed my time coaching there. But when I started having a family, because I put 100% of my energy into my coaching, and I realized I just couldn't give that much energy to sports and to my team anymore.
Yeah.
And so I decided to retire from coaching. And it was hard because... But I think I made the right choice, you know, because I needed to spend more time with my little girls, you know. I mean, I couldn't be traveling all over the place. And Pat at the time was coaching football, and he retired from coaching, too.
Yeah.
And so we worked out our schedules. Luckily, I was able to stay at El Camino as a professor and coach and teach health, teach women's health. I developed a lot of courses for the college, so I was still very actively involved. And the funny thing, and I thought we were done coaching, and then our kids got old enough, and they were watching the people come down. Well, Pat was training Jackie Silver at the time, who won the gold medal, first gold, women's gold medal in beach volleyball. She was from Brazil, and she used to play, you know, like you know, balloon ball with kids.
Mm-hmm.
And they wanted to play. They wanted their own team, and we checked to see if there were any clubs in the area, but they didn't take them that young. So we started coaching again, which we didn't think we would, and we thought, well, we'll just make them so that they have skills so they can make another club. But we ended up getting more and more people coming in, and we coached for the next 12 years club volleyball. So, but it was fun. We won some national titles. Ended up
that's really cool.
Making some really good friends with some of the families that were involved, you know. But I'll tell you, coaching youth sports is a whole different ball game than coaching in college.
The parents take it so serious. I mean, I get it. Your kid is the most precious, but you know, everyone's kid is the most precious, and you're all here watching precious versus precious with playing time.
Precious,
you can only have so much precious time to go around for playing, you know.
That is very, very true.
I know, you know, I mean, for that, get into individual sports. That way it's your own accomplishment. If you can play whatever, tennis, gymnastics, swim.
Right.
You know, less than being a team member. But I love team building.
Right.
I love that. And, you know, just a quick comment on that, and we're going to take a break. And then Sharky's going to ask me a couple questions on some predictions. And, you know, but I think music builds team building, too. You know, it's a smaller team where you can have an orchestra or a big band, but everybody has their part. You know, if you do this on the team, you don't run over here because you got someone over here. Maybe does it better than you or has been assigned to that. And, you know, but so there's good team building in that, too. And I really, you know, if there's something to always be involved with fundraiser-wise or donation to youth sports or youth school programs, athletics and music are so important. They do help team building, confidence, and so many benefits in addition to, you know, having a healthy outlet and giving your child a hobby that may turn into a something bigger. Or if nothing else, a great hobby.
They're learning life skills.
Yes.
And they're learning them themselves. They're learning to be accountable for their actions. Because what happens a lot of times is parents won't let their kids do that.
Yeah.
They want to take care of them. They don't want them to go through any stress.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one reason why there's some problems in youth sports.
Mm-hmm.
Is because the parents, like you said, get too involved.
Yeah.
And they won't just let the kids just play, enjoy, meet the experience, and learn, you know. I mean, there's so much moving around in the clubs these days, and I can't believe how much money these clubs are costing, Jay.
I know.
It's when we did it, we didn't charge.
Yeah.
We just tried to get expenses paid.
Yeah.
But now...
Oh, it's a for-profit gig now with some of these coaches. And
$4,000 up front to have your kid in a club,
yeah.
And you don't even know if they're going to play that. That's kind of... when I heard that, I went, no way. But that's some of these clubs. And so the parents, you can kind of understand why they're getting so involved, because they're paying so much money.
Yeah, it's become an investment, and you're like, if you're going to play club level, I want to see
right.
a return, because you're
right.
obviously at a higher level, and this might help you to get to the next higher level, and you're in that category of a
right.
better athlete at this particular sport,
yeah.
and there might be that chance of
yeah.
you know, this paying off, but when you really add up the money that people pay for club money, and if you actually stash that into a college
that's
savings
right.
account,
that's right.
you might have money for college if you
exactly.
didn't.
Exactly.
Because clubs, you got to travel, hotels.
Exactly.
And sometimes it's just not just a drive. You're going to Philadelphia or another side
right.
of the country.
That's right. That's
know.
Right. They
Plus,
do. They travel. And
you know,
so
$4,000
yeah.
to just join the team. That's
right.
You know.
Right. And so, yeah, so it's kind of sad to see that. It's nice that a lot of more opportunities have opened up for kids to play sports.
Yeah.
But what's interesting is 70% of the kids I did the research on is quit sports by the time they're 14 because
yeah.
there's no fun. They're stressed out and they don't want to do it anymore.
Yeah. And they get burnt out at a
mm-hmm.
at a certain point. So.
Yeah.
Let's take a break. Not that we're burnt out. We're actually
okay.
having a good time. I'm
yeah.
really enjoying talking about this. We're going to turn the tables and let Sharky ask me a few questions. She knows how to do that. She has a host here on the network since 2011. First Friday every month, 10 a.m. Pacific time before this show, Fantasy Sports Friday. We'll be right back.
All positive talk with a mature edge. HealthyLife.net.
And we're back for the last segment on Fantasy Sports Friday, and Sharky Zartman asked some questions for me.
Yes, I
what
do, Jay. So this is fun. I'm
yeah.
having fun. Well, let's talk a little bit about the NBA. As
I
you
love
know,
it.
That I'm a huge Lakers fan.
Me
been going
too.
There since... take to their games since the 70s, and they have made probably zero changes in the people that they have on their team, but they made a huge change in their coach.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you see that working out for them? And also the fact that LeBron's son is playing on the team this year.
Well, I think that's cute that LeBron, Bronny, is on the team. I don't think it's the best basketball move. He only went to 1 year of college, and he didn't exactly light up the NCAA. I mean, he didn't average 30 points a game,
right.
wasn't breaking backboards. I mean, he was kind of an average player, and he had a little bit of a health scare, too. That's
right.
a interesting
right.
where that came from. He had a heart condition
right.
thing. I personally think he would have benefited from staying in college a little longer
mm-hmm.
and working out there, especially with USC and UCLA and then teams going to the Big Ten. A very competitive, bigger conference would have faced some good competition and improved. I don't think he's NBA ready, and scouts are saying that as well.
Okay. All right.
What's the other question? All the new guy, J.J. Redick.
Right.
LeBron's friend. You know, LeBron James is the general manager of the Lakers. Yeah, he makes the decisions, and this isn't his first team that he's ran. You know, the NBA is definitely a players' league. I like the last guy, Darvin Ham. In fact, I didn't know this until after he was let go. And that guy survived a gunshot growing up in suburbs of Detroit when he was a teenager coming home from a birthday party. They already had the pizza, but they needed soda and soft drinks or whatever. And him and his brother went to the store in the wrong place, wrong time, and he got accidentally shot. So, I don't know. Yeah. That guy's been through some stuff, and I'd trust him more coaching other than, like, LeBron's friend. But J.J. Redick was a good player.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping for the best.
Right, right. Well, I think his advantage is he knows what it feels like to be out on the court during you know, certain situations.
Yeah.
He has a player's perspective instead of just a coaching perspective.
Yeah. Darvinham played a little bit, too.
Yeah.
He was a member of a Pistons team that beat the Lakers with Shaq and Kobe. So.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. You know.
And so, anyway, we'll see how it goes. I'm kind of glad they held on to their core.
Yes.
Especially Austin Reaves and
good player.
D'Lo. I'm glad they're hanging on to him because I thought he was really good for them at times.
Yeah.
So anyway, okay. So what about who you think will win the NBA?
NBA. Well, you always look at the defending champions and go, how can somebody overthrow Boston?
Right.
They're very good, and they've been building to that pinnacle for a couple years. Denver is still formidable.
Mm-hmm.
Dallas got close. They had a Klay Thompson. He's a little old, but he's an effective three-point shooting role player.
I think he's going to help them.
I do, too. And, you know, getting out of Golden State with a fresh start just might help.
Right.
And Oklahoma City was a really good young team. They've, like, piled up draft picks for years. They still have so many good players. They had Durant, Harden, and Westbrook at one time. They all were unhappy, and they turned out into a lot of draft picks.
Right.
They still got more draft picks from all the trades that they made, and they weren't good for a couple years. But last year, they were, and then I think Dallas beat them in the playoffs.
Yeah. You know, they were a fun team to watch.
Very much. Very high scoring.
Because they were very balanced. They shared the ball.
Yeah.
They played good defense, had good shooting. You know, I thought they were really a good
team. So they're a team to watch.
Right.
Denver with Jokic.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand that, but that guy is a great player. He doesn't look very effective. He seems a little slow motion, but that guy doesn't miss a trick, and he's hard to stop.
He is. He's very hard to stop. What about the Clippers? They have their own place to play now.
They do. It's kind of exciting. In a way, I kind of want to support them a little more because they're a stone's throw from where we live here in the South Bay.
Right.
And, you know, it might be a little easier to get to a game or two. You know, they lost Paul George. He signed with Philadelphia. He was a big component. And their main thing, they got Kawhi Leonard. He's so injury prone.
Right.
You know, and that's why they've always done the load management, and people laugh at it. But, you know, he knows his body, and if he's going to be around in the playoffs, they could win. I mean, he helped San Antonio and Toronto when he was healthy win championships. And, you know, Toronto had never been that close before.
Right.
The Spurs with Popovich and been a good team.
At least they still have Harden.
They do.
Yeah.
And I've always been a fan of his, you know, as long as he just stays and focuses. You know, he's been traded so many times.
Right.
And I think they got Russell Westbrook, too. He ended up coming over from L.A., and he's been a much more effective player. You know.
Thanks, Russ.
Yeah. Just why it didn't work with the Lakers, I don't know.
Right.
The same guy. But, you know.
Right. That was a fresh start for him.
Yeah. And of course, you know, the Intuit Dome, that's literally where he, you know, Inglewood to Hawthorne is not very far. I think they're bordering cities. And he grew up in Hawthorne at Losinger High School, Leisinger.
Yeah.
I know everyone that didn't go there calls it Losinger or something.
Oh,
or someone called it Lose a Finger. I'm like, easy. Easy, folks.
Oh, no.
You know, it's probably named after a prominent person like Pauly Pavilion, you know?
Okay. Well, let's do something that's happening today. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
The baseball.
Yeah.
Okay. So who's your pick to win the whole thing?
You know, here in L.A., I hate to say it, but the Padres are so red hot right now.
They really are.
They look tough to beat.
Watched them yesterday. Yeah.
Yankees with Aaron Judge, and they got a really good player from Miami before the trade deadline named Jazz Chisholm. And he had scored a run the other day, you know, based off his speed and base running alone. You know, but right now, like, the Tigers are hot. Cleveland had a big run at some time during the season. At one point, they said the Phillies were outstanding, but they're down two games to the Mets. And the Mets keep surviving.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's funny because they were not doing good, and then they had the grimace from McDonald's come out and throw out the first pitch of one of their games.
Uh-huh.
And then I see a meme on Facebook going, the Mets are 8-0 since the grimace threw out the first pitch.
Wow.
And,
wow.
Like, since that, they've had one of the best records.
Wow.
And, you know, have won big games and continue to do so. So them in San Diego right now are pretty hot, and the Yankees also. And those are the three teams with the highest payroll in baseball. I think
okay.
The Dodgers are up there maybe
right.
Fourth. But the two New York teams in San Diego actually, you know, pay the most. Interesting, Houston got knocked out. Detroit and Cleveland and who's the other team from the Central? Kansas City.
Okay.
Those teams had really good records. It helped that they had the White Sox in our division. The White Sox had, like, the worst year in baseball history, tied for the worst record ever. They lost 122 games. So the Tigers were, like, 12-2 against them. So that's an extra 10 wins that helped get them
wow.
a better
right.
place in the standings. But it's always who's playing the hottest at the end. And, like, the Dodgers have talent, but they're all hurt. The only one who's really not hurt right now is Otani,
uh-huh.
who's had the greatest season in baseball
right.
history, one of the greatest seasons in sports, and
right.
really is the reason I follow the Dodgers, because he's a legendary generational talent. You know, someone compared him to Babe Ruth, and I go, I think he's better.
Yeah.
To be honest, you know, Babe Ruth's an Americana romantic figure, and Shohei Otani has taken it to the next level
right.
as far as the ability. You know, he's done.
Yeah, 50 home runs and 50 stolen bases.
Like literally 55, 55.
Yeah, well,
like,
he keeps. Yeah, I mean, he held the record with 50-50.
Yeah. Certainly got that.
He's adding on to that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And,
yeah.
you know, he had a home run in game one.
Right.
And the Padres are just playing a little bit better right now. And
they are.
The thing is that they got into the Dodgers mentally because they have this rivalry and they've just, like, yeah, for some reason, I don't think the Dodgers like playing the Padres, and the Padres get up for it.
Well, that's too bad. Well,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching that game.
Oh, yeah.
You know, I mean,
there's still chances.
Otani
could carry him. Mookie Betts could get hot.
Yeah, Betts hasn't been hot lately.
Right.
But he could get hot any time.
It's been the pitching, because Kershaw's not doing it. Bueller got, you know, they've had so many injuries to the pitching, it's like,
right.
And their best guy, you know, throughout the year, Gavin Stone, you know, he ended up hurt at the end of the year. He was one of my best fantasy players. I had him in that, which is Fantasy Sports Friday, what we talk about a lot. But it's been more fun talking with you today,
right?
Other than just me quoting stats and talking about, you know, my players doing what they do.
I wish Otani would get out there and pitch, but he can't. He's a DH, and plus he even has an injury.
And they've been flirting with him coming back, and
really?
I'm like,
okay.
Don't blow out the arm.
Okay.
I mean, you've gone this far.
Okay, yeah, you're
you know,
right.
If you can't get out with regular pitchers. And honestly, I would consider exploring him as a relief pitcher.
Okay.
And not having to go through the starting and having to go 7 innings. Come in like twice a week as a closer, maybe, you know, an inning or two.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Could he be a relief pitcher and a designated hitter?
I think so. He's still in the lineup. He'd stay as the, you know, DH. And it's funny, in fantasy sports with Otani, there's he's two players. You can't have him do both on your team. You get Otani batter or Otani pitcher.
Right.
And I'm like, come on. I used to have Deion Sanders on football. He'd get, you know, offense and defense. But, anyway, otherwise, he, you know, but he's just so fun to watch.
I know. He really is.
And,
last prediction.
I would like to see a Yankees-Dodgers series, though.
I would, too.
With Otani and Aaron Judge just going home run contest against each other.
I would, too.
You know,
but,
so.
You know, you know, the Padres went in as a wild card, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's unfair, because they're so good.
I know. And that's what's, you know, some baseball people are like, well, you didn't used to have the wild card, you used to have to win a division.
That's right. You shouldn't be there.
I don't know.
Last prediction.
I kind of like the wild card. It makes things more exciting. More teams get in.
Okay, you liked it. Okay. Yeah. Last prediction of football. Who do you think is going to win the Super Bowl?
We talked about teams and dynasties earlier in the show with UCLA and the the Chiefs might be the first team to win three Super Bowls.
Yeah.
They've had some injuries, but Andy Reid, I heard a quote from him, or the announcer was saying that even with things going on, he thought he still had the personnel to do what they need to do to win. Well,
yeah.
This has been a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And, again, Sharky does the show the first Friday each and every month. That is before this one, Fantasy Sports Friday. Sharky, we'll have to have you back again, although we covered a lot of stuff that we talked about when we produced your show in between the commercials.
Right,
so,
right. We always talk. Okay. Thanks for having me, Jay.
Where can people find you and your books that we didn't get enough time to talk about today?
Oh, well, I have a website, sharkyzartman.com, and all my books are, if you type in Sharky Zartman author, it'll bring up all my books.
All right. Thanks again for being on today. Fantasy Sports Friday on HealthyLife.net.